And that's one of the things the Lord wants us to hear, is that we pray for open doors. Let's put it in these terms, in farming terms. We're praying for open doors. Why don't we pray to see, because there's a sickle already in your hand. So let's simply pray to see where the fields fight into harvest, and then take the sickle and harvest wherever you find brokenness. Sickness and disease and brokenness. That's a field. That's an open door. It's time. I would rather say, God, do something to keep me from it. Because you said to lift up my eyes and notice the harvest, and when I do, I'm going to lay the sickle. There's several things here that are kind of simple without reading through the scriptures again, but you know, like he told them to go, don't take a purse, don't take any extra sandals. He basically was telling them, if you're going to be a harvester, if you're going to go out there and do what I've done in my name, he says, you're going to have to commit yourself to a lifestyle of faith. To a lifestyle of radical faith. The whole Christian life's by faith. You pray for the sick by faith. We cast out spirits by faith. We lead somebody to Christ in the quote sinner's prayer by faith. And there are always things to challenge. The embarrassment, what if they don't get healed? If you look at this, we'll see this again in a minute, but earlier, particularly the one in Luke, just before this story, and I think in Matthew 2, there's Jairus' daughter who gets healed. Remember when they sent message, he was a synagogue official, and said, my daughter's dying, would you come? So he heads out that way, and then the woman with the issue of blood on the way came, and she got healed. And then by the time he got to Jairus' house, they were like playing the instruments, and people were weeping because she had died. And Jesus said, you can stop making noise. She's not dead. She's just asleep. And in both scriptures, it says they all laughed at him. I'm afraid that if that happened to one of us, we'd never pray for anybody else again as long as we live. I don't know about you, but I steward enough fear in my flesh that if they started laughing at me before I even prayed for them, I might very be tempted. My faith may just go down the tube. But Jesus is saying to them, you're going to have to walk in radical faith if you're going to steward this life, this supernatural lifestyle of the miraculous servant love of Jesus that heals the sick, the brokenhearted. You are the body of Christ. If he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, there's no backup plan. If people are going to encounter the hands of Jesus, they're going to experience the heart of Jesus. They're going to hear the voice of Jesus say, rise and walk. It's going to have to come through his body. And you're the only one he's got right now. He believes in you. The other thing he told them is, like I've already mentioned it really, he identified the harvest for them. He said, cleanse the lepers, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. That's the harvest. That's what it looks like. And I would add to that, if you go into Luke chapter 4, Isaiah 61, the brokenhearted, the grieving, said that's how you'll identify the harvest. But one of my favorite things that he says, and I read it to you in the Luke passage, he says, don't even greet anyone on your way. In other words, be intentional. Don't get sidetracked. And I think that's one of the biggest things that we struggle with. We're going to steward the life of Christ. Now understand again what I said to you earlier. All the promises of God are yes in Christ. You're in Christ. And so whatever breakthrough Jesus has to do these things, you carry those already. He's already said yes to you about that anointing. Our breakthrough is a breakthrough into faith to manifest what's already ours. That is so much easier for me to believe. Even a little child can believe that. Oh. I mean, he actually did everything so that little children, because blessed are the little children, for they shall experience the kingdom of heaven. I said this before recently. In the Old Testament, when God laid out manna, which represents so many things, one of the things it represents is God feeding us. In Eucharist, he feeds us from his word. He feeds us and giving us insight in his ways. It wasn't like God buried the manna and then gave them water wands and said, now come out of your tent every morning and see if you can find the manna. Get the deep things. He laid it on top of the ground. As a matter of fact, the language of manna on top of the ground is like it's set kind of on top of the moisture that's on top of the ground in the morning. They just walked out of the tent and picked it up. Now, is the manna of God deep stuff? Yes. But it's for everybody. It's not for a select few. It's for little children. And we've made things like breakthrough so complicated that I'm grasping for something that I don't know if I deserve. I don't know if it's out there. I don't know if I can be like that person whose book I read, that thing out there. The truth is, it's already yours. He's already said yes to you. That scripture says what it says. All the promises of God are yes in Christ. And by him, the affirmation, the amen, through you. But it's so easy to get distracted by trying to get something you already got, by all the stuff that goes around us. And if we would just grasp the idea that that anointing that you long for, that place, that kind of favor is already, God's already said yes to you in Christ. So go out, take it out for a spin. Lift up your eyes. Take some risks. You're going to get laughed at. So? That's true, and not just praying for the sick, because that's, quote, like charismatic stuff, but how about just leading somebody to Christ? That can be just as scary to the flesh, right? What if they get offended with you, get mad? He told them, don't even speak about anybody on the way. Don't get distracted. If you put your hand to the plow, don't turn back. You're not worthy of the kingdom. And then the other thing he told you, and we've already referenced it already, is that dust in Scripture represents the flesh. Man fell, made out of dust, and the fall represents just broken humanity, the flesh, fallen humanity. If you're going to be intentional, and if you're going to steward the life of Christ in fullness, and you're going to go into the harvest field and lead people to Christ, minister the extravagant servant love of Christ to the poor, pray for the sick, cast out spirits, do all those things that are just normal, run-of-the-mill, average, everyday Bible Christianity, they're going to laugh at you. They're going to reject you. Even people in the body of Christ will say you're lunatic, radical, extreme. I say you're being Christ-like. But you can't let the dust stick to you. Somebody laughs at you, rejects you, or whatever. When you walk out of that situation, you can't carry their dust with you. You shake it off, stay intentional, and go and manifest who Christ is and the anointing of Christ to heal the sick for the next one. Because I'll just say this to you. God, one of the things that God wants to know is, are we going to put our hand on the plow and keep it there? Are we going to be faithful stewards? Because if we'll be faithful in the little, He'll give us a lot. He'll release more. It'll manifest more. And you may pray for 200 people, but if you'll be intentional, and if 199 of them laugh at you, but the 200th one is radically healed in front of you, the laughter will never ring in your ear again. Because you'll realize that God's the God who always gets the last laugh. So here's the thing. Here's the 5-minute sermon. Some simple conclusions in light of what we talked about last week. He sends the 12. He sends the 70. So I'm just going to read these to you. First, some conclusions, and you may come to more when you read this. So hear what I'm saying to you. I'm all for praying for open heavens. All right, what did I just say? I'm all for praying for open heavens. But you need to understand that whatever situation you walk into, you carry an open heaven with you, in you. Your feet may be moving on the earth, but you are already seated in the heavenly places in Christ, and you can't get more open heaven than that. Every situation that you walk into, you carry an open heaven with you. You know, the open heaven that just allows everything, all the resources of heaven to flow, the manifestation, the presence of the glory of God. You live under an open heaven. You carry the open heaven. You're in Christ. You can't get more open heaven than Christ. You're in union with Him in His ascension. Though your feet are on the earth, you're also seated in heavenly places with Him. And you live under that anointed place. And every situation you walk into, you carry that open heaven. May God cause us to be conscious of this. Jesus sent them, and in our terminology, they carried the open heaven into those circumstances. Because after each, in Luke chapter 10, and again here after this passage, they get together and they start telling Jesus all the cool stuff that happened. And in Luke 10, after the 70 came back and started talking about all the people who got set free, were healed, Jesus said, I saw Satan falling like lightning from the sky. The other thing is, I want you to keep praying for revival. I want you to hear this. Keep praying for revival to show up. But don't just pray for revival to show up. You are revival. So show up. Let me say it again. If you're in Christ, you carry a revival. The church is the revival. And as we begin to manifest all the blessings that are ours in Christ, that's what revival is. We don't just pray for revival to show up. You are revival, so just show up. I can promise you that if you'll show up in faith, He'll show out in power. Keep praying. You know, second heaven plans and second heaven atmosphere, those are the works and the plans of the enemy. Keep praying for second heavens to be dispelled and to be undone. Alrighty? But don't just pray for second heavens to clear out and for second heaven plans and the lives of other people to be destroyed. When you show up, second heaven plans clear out. What did Jesus say? When they showed up and began to manifest, proclaim, and manifest the kingdom of God, They brought and released what we would call revival. That's what revival looks like. And Jesus said, I saw all the second heaven plans falling from heaven like lightning. I saw Satan falling from heaven like lightning. Now, did Chuck tell you to stop praying about second heaven things? No, I didn't. I said, but there's more to it than just that. Guys, we don't run from the darkness. You're the light of the world. Run to the darkness. That's the only chance that darkness has if you ever get in the way. We don't run from darkness, hide from darkness. I'm so weary. I'm so weary of Christians drawing boundaries to protect themselves. What the enemy's doing, he's protecting the territory of the enemy that he wants us to go into and to dispel. I'm just really glad Jesus didn't draw boundaries around me and go, I got to protect myself from you. Now, I understand if there's some situations in people's lives that are being abused. I get it. But man, we've just become psychological wimps, this generation of believers. You read throughout Christian history, many of you love Heidi Baker. To me, she keeps jumping over boundaries, running into the darkness, putting herself, her family, her kids, her husband in harm's way. Because the only hope that darkness has is for light to show up. And you are, Jesus said, you are. Because you carry Him, the light of the world. And you can't put a light under a bushel. You put it on a lampstand. Everywhere you go, the kingdom of heaven arrives and is released, manifested through you. All you got to do is show up and bear witness of what you see and hear from Jesus' perspective about that person or that situation. Amen? One of my favorite quotes over the years, John Wimber would have as much influence as anybody in the 20th century in the body of Christ. He affected so many people, particularly people from non-charismatic circles, because he just stewarded such maturity and he just carried this anointing and impacted so many people. And I loved him because he wasn't skinny. There's something about that. Wimber used to say, remember when Libby and I, first when we saw him way back in like 85, and he would say, people are saying to me, but Brother Wimber, we want the meat of the word. We want the meat, because that's the Western thing. We just want the meat of the word. We want the meat. And we love Bible studies, and I love it too. I'm a Bible teacher. That's what I do. I think that's my chief calling. But he would always say, the meat is in the street. So if you want to experience the meat of the word, then take the gospel. Lead people to Christ. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Do all those things. Be the presence of Christ. The fields white in the harvest. Lift up your eyes. Don't be afraid. If you fail, just dust it off. Because you didn't fail. If you go and go forth in the name of Jesus, you leave it there. And then keep going. But I love that. I love that. I love that word. Stop waiting for and praying for revival to show up. I don't want you to stop praying for revival, but that can't be the only thing you do. You are the revival. So just show up and let the revival manifest itself in a person or in a situation. I thought about with Elizabeth Worthy being baptized today, that guy, Shedrick, who, when we came out there, got healed. That's what revival looks like. Or somebody gets saved, or the broken get loved out of their place of brokenness. Like, the woman at the well, she didn't get healed physically, but she miraculously was transformed from the inside out. I'm looking for that kind of manifestation, aren't you? I like the one-step program. Now, thank God for each 12-step program. Anything that works, but I like the one-step, in Jesus' name, be healed. And then they get healed. You can get to more people that way. And that is really the biblical example. The meat is in the street. Okay. Please don't go away from here going, okay, Bishop, I'm going to pray into that. I'm going to pray into it. God, give me a breakthrough. You're already broke through. You can pray into believing, but you're already there. Everything that you need, Jesus told them, don't carry anything else with you. Basically saying to them, everything you need, you already got, is all going to be okay. You don't need anything else. You're in Christ. It's all Him. Amen? In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.